In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, and welcome to Pattern Portraits, an artwork and podcast by me, Lauren Godfrey. Each episode I speak with a fellow pattern lover in the creative industries about their relationship to pattern and colour, and how surrounding themselves with pattern serves as a kind of armour. Each guest has selected some textiles special to them which we will discuss, using the patterns to delve into their stories. I've also created an accompanying artwork, an abstract pattern portrait of the sitter through their patterns made from jesmonite inlaid with perspex and brass, and a resulting print will be available to purchase. There'll be an exhibition of all the artworks, and the prints are available on my website, laurengodfrey.co.uk. Follow Lauren Godfrey Studio and Pattern Portraits Podcast on Instagram to stay in the loop. Hello and welcome to Pattern Portraits. Today I'm speaking with Bethany Rutter, an author rewriting the narrative around body image and identity. She's a ray of sunshine and a beacon of positivity. A podcaster herself, she co-hosts the literary podcast What Page Are You On? With fellow writer Alice Slater. Bethany has published 3 novels with a 4th and 5th coming out next year. Bethany's been blogging about fashion for many years and has used her platform to challenge the fashion industry on its shortcomings regarding inclusivity. She's never far from a bold pattern or a bright colour and is a prolific maker, often to be found crocheting or sculpting accessories and garments. She's designed clothing collections for plus-size fashion brand Navabi and even co-designed her own emerald green gem of a wedding dress. Bethany, welcome to Pattern Portrait.
That's me. You said everything. Everything there is to say about me.
Should we end it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done.
We're done. So I guess it would be nice to start with finding out from you what pattern means to you.
I like things. Like, I'm a very kind of like thing, object oriented person, and I feel like I've just had to accept that about myself rather than be like, oh no, it's like vain or silly or frivolous. And yeah, just, I don't know, just growing up, like my dad like collected china, like Clarus Cliff and Susie Cooper china. And like my parents were both like quite into clothes. And I just feel like, I don't know, yeah, like pattern was always just something that was very like pleasing to my eyes in all of the objects.
Did the things, I don't know Clarence Cliff. Is that
Clarice Cliff? Yeah, it's like China. Patterned kind of like mid-century-ish China.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, I can picture it now. They're slightly fluted.
I think so. Yeah. I lose track of which ones are which, but I just remember like looking in charity shops and like antique shops and stuff for it as a child. But yeah, just pleasing to the eye.
Nice. Okay. And the patterns that surrounded you, do they inform your use of pattern now?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so, but actually when I think about it, like curtains that we had in the first house that I lived in were like kind of like cool, like, you know, not a million miles away from like the shirt that you're wearing, and like little William Morris coasters and stuff like that. And that is kind of what I perceive as nice now.
Yeah, I guess it kind of infiltrates your mind in a way that you don't even realize. Yes. Like when I look back at photos of our first house when I was a kid, it was all like Habitat kind of jazzy curtains. I mean, it was like the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. 90s. Yeah.
So of course it was that kind of thing. And I realized that I've not strayed far from my nest in
exactly.
terms of my likes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're drawn to what we grew up with. Can you tell me what patterns you find most empowering?
So empowering for me, you could go down like two routes. One is things that are like bright or attention grabbing. But there's also the kind of specific mantras around like dressing when you are plus size. And like, obviously the biggest one that everyone talks about is like, you don't wear horizontal stripes because it makes you look bigger. So I do find like wearing horizontal stripes is very like, this is a thing. You know, we grew up, as I talked about this recently on Instagram, like we grew up in the age of like Trini and Susanna, what not to wear.
They've got a lot to answer for.
And it was so interesting just to see like, how many people had retained so much stuff that they had learned like in the dark noughties through like, you know, Trini and Susanna, Heat, Circle of Shame, that kind of thing. And so yeah, like the horizontal stripes thing really embeds itself in one's mind.
So you mean when you then wear horizontal stripes, you feel like it's a kind of two fingers up?
Yeah, just like, yeah, this is what I want to wear and I'm going to wear it, rather than being like, oh, but I'm not, it's not allowed.
I think I have a bit of an aversion to wrap dresses because of them, because that was what they said people with sort of larger boobs and smaller waists should wear. And I'm like, actually kind of push against, I don't want to wear a wrap dress.
Exactly. Whereas like it could be nice. It could be nice on you, but now it's like, for better or for worse, you end up with these like retained, either like I can't do this or they told me to do it and now I hate it. Like it's just very dark groundwork.
So can you tell me about your first fabric? One of the fabrics that you chose is this teal kind of leopard printy, large oversized leopard print, I would describe it as,
with like orange splotches and like pink bits in the leopard print. So this is one that I designed. No, that's not true. I did not design this pattern. I designed the clothes that use this fabric. So I worked, before I was made redundant during the pandemic, I spent several years working in social media and marketing at a women's plus size fashion brand called Navabi. It was based in Germany. They've been sold now, kind of doesn't exist anymore, which is sad. But I had like the best boss who I loved, and he was just like, Bethany, do you want to design some clothes? And I was like, do I ever, Dan? Thank you so much. What a nice man you are.
What was your role there?
So I was like, I just did like social media and marketing.
Okay.
So it was nothing to do with design, but I was one of the few plus size people that worked there, and he knew that I was like very interested in clothes, and that's why he'd hired me. So yeah, just seemed like a good idea. And I had pretty free rein in terms of what I designed, especially in the first collection, which was very like color block. And one of the reasons that I did the first collection, which this is not from, this pattern, was that I knew that we would not be able to design our own patterns for it. That was like one of the constraints. So I just went very like bold, monochrome colors, so like, you know, pink, red, green, blue, like, but everything was kind of one color. But then I designed more, and even though we couldn't design our own patterns for it, I really wanted to have like leopard print, so I just sort of looked for a leopard print that like spoke to me, and I wanted like a big leopard print because I think that's more chic than a small leopard print. Yeah. And I liked that it was like not trad, like neutral colours. And I just found it very like fun and cute. And it was very like bold and it felt like something that I would wear. Mm. And I designed like a boxy short sleeve shirt and a dress, a long sleeve dress, and I wear the shirt so much, like in the summer, like my default summer outfit is like that shirt with like plissé culottes. I would literally wear it all the time because it's so like lightweight but like fun and statementy. I love it.
That's so nice. So what did it kind of teach you, the process of designing the clothes rather than just selecting? What did you discover?
I was really pleasantly surprised that I thought I would get like quite a lot of pushback on what I wanted to do, because obviously like what I want in clothes was not necessarily what the brand that I worked for thought their customers wanted. Mm-hmm. There was quite a big gulf between like what I felt was missing from the world and what they were providing to the customers. So I was expecting to like want something and they'd be like, no, we have to do it like this and make it more boring.
Yeah.
So I was like very pleasantly surprised to find that I kind of got my way with most things.
Great.
So that was nice.
Full
and
trust.
I still have like, there were some things that I designed that I just didn't really end up wearing. So over the years I got rid of them, but there's stuff that I still wear like all the time.
And did it sell well?
Yeah, as far as I remember, it did, and at least well enough for me to do a few more.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Great.
So this was from a later one. This was from, I think, maybe the last one that I did. Delightful.
That's so good. I'm really, like, proud of them.
Yeah, me too.
For putting that trust in you.
Yeah.
And proud of you for making an amazing collection.
Thank you.
And for selecting such great fabric. Because I do agree, like, leopard print, I think, is a particularly empowering fabric in itself. I remember having a kind of scoop neck t-shirt as a sort of teenager, maybe I was like 15, that was leopard print from Topshop. And every time I put it on, I kind of felt a bit like a barmaid from EastEnders. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Like it almost like I embodied a particular character that felt more bolshy than I was. And therefore it somehow gave me that power. Maybe it's one of my earliest memories of consciously putting on something that sort of
had an effect.
Yeah. And I remember feeling like, okay, I can take on the world in this. And it was just a leopard print top, but it felt it was the beginning of something.
Yeah, yeah. I can see it with leopard print.
Yeah. I love a full leopard print. Actually, I wore leopard print to your wedding.
Yes,
a
you
leopard
did.
Print suit.
Yes,
yeah.
I love
also
that.
Also from Topshop.
R.I.P.
I know. I've spoken too much about Topshop on this podcast already.
I guess for many people, not me, it is like a foundational, you know, clothes shopping memory.
Not for you because they didn't do plus size.
They didn't do... So I was like... the top end of what Topshop did. So like sometimes it would fit, but most of the time it wouldn't.
Right. Can you talk a bit about the kind of way it feels to not be able to go into a shop?
It's just something that is just not in my mind as like an option. Like very rarely I will remember that it is possible, but for so long, you know, between like being plus size, pandemic, working for an online retailer, I just really like got like, and also I don't tend to buy fast fashion. Like that's the thing that I kind of tried to give up in like 2019 and since then have like really, really reduced my consumption of fast fashion of any kind to like the bare minimum. And between all of those things, I just got out of the habit of going to shops. And so it just, I just forget that it's a thing that I can do.
I think it makes you really thrifty to have to avoid that. And also as somebody who maybe has to seek out something more precise, it sort of it creates a bit more of a mission around it, which can be good and bad. I mean, it must have been at times really frustrating that you can't just go and get something.
Especially as
I imagine as a younger person, like
now, before I was like as intentional about clothing as I am. But yeah, like it was you know, annoying, difficult, kind of embarrassing, weird feeling, you know, just this like fundamental thing that you're meant to be able to do and then to not be able to do it. It's not great. And it's just, it's, you know, obviously this is a podcast about like fashion in general or like bodies or whatever, but it just seems so wildly unbusiness minded to cut out such a, you know, significant proportion of the population for basically like vanity, to just be like, well, they don't look the way that we want our customers to look, so it doesn't matter that they want or need clothes.
Definitely preposterous.
Indeed.
Can you tell me about designing your own wedding dress?
Yeah, so I sort of knew that of all of the objects that one could be shopping for, a wedding dress would probably be the most stressful and also like the one with the fewest options if you are not thin. So I just thought, I don't want to be restricted to having to go to like David's Bridal or like buying it online and hoping for the best to get like a trad wedding dress. And then I thought, like, actually, do I want, like, a trad wedding dress? Like, what do I actually want? Like, if I could invent a dress that, like, speaks to me, what would it be? And so I had this friend slash acquaintance called Sarah Brown, who had studied fashion design at university. She'd worked at various designers and just said to her, like, would you be up for doing this? I completely understand if you wouldn't. And she was like, nope, I'm up for it. And so I just described to her what I wanted. She did it. And so she actually designed it, but didn't make it herself. She got, a tailor. I don't know what the male version of a seamstress is. A man who makes clothes.
Yeah.
To manufacture it. Yeah, a seamster.
Hey, seamsters.
Yes, exactly. to make it. And that was how we did it. And it was really fun. And it was exactly what I wanted.
Nice. And it looked phenomenal.
It looked so good. I now would like, I think I'm going to get someone to do surgery on it to make it short sleeved so that I will wear it more.
I think it's really nice to have wedding clothes that can live on
exactly
outside of the environment in which they're expected to be.
And I think something that's nice about like growing up and being an adult is being able to be like, what do I actually want? Like, do I actually want like a strapless white dress with, you know, a puffy bottom? And like, maybe if I had, it would have been completely fine to wear that. But like, you know, as you know, it's actually kind of nicer to look like yourself when you are getting married rather than like a bride. And maybe you have a vision for yourself and it looks like a bride, and in which case you should wear like a white dress or, you know, whatever. But I just thought, what do I actually want?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about looking like a bride. All I care about is, you know, being married rather than like getting married. So yeah, it was a good excuse for a nice dress.
Nice. I wore a dress I already had for my wedding, which was very last minute, as you know.
Very chic.
We had a 29-day notice period from deciding to get married and getting married, which is the shortest you can have. And it was in the middle of COVID. I think you were there online.
I was there online.
You Zoom cast it. And I wore a vintage dress that I already had that was like a 1960s kind of shift dress with little cap sleeves and then this big red tick along the front, almost like a Nike tick, but it's not Nike. It's like a vintage dress that I'd had for a long time. I bought from like, you know, Dorno Porter had a
pop-up shop.
I bought it from her like vintage selection. And then I wore my dream shoes, which are
the
Gucci loafers, which are the gift that keeps on giving. And I always joke that we had the world's cheapest wedding if I hadn't have bought the shoes.
I love the bag. Was a gift from someone, wasn't it?
The bag was a gift. That was a gift from my friend Karen.
Yes. Who I'm sure we'll be talking about imminently.
We will, yes. And that was really nice. It was like my wedding present. And Alex was like, wait a minute, that's not really a wedding present for us. And I was like, sorry.
Sucks to be you.
And then my other very good friend bought me the flowers from Sage Flowers. So yeah, it was a nice day.
It was such a good look.
It was a good look. I was very proud of the look. I would like to talk to you about your next fabric, because we just mentioned Karen.
We did.
It seems kind of perfect to move on to speak about Karen. So this next fabric is a very special one to both of us, I think. It's a scarf I'm assuming.
No, it's actually pajamas. It's the pajamas. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, even better. So it's pajamas, and it is printed with Agatha Christie books.
Yes.
Illustrated by the amazing Karen Maben, who's one of our friends.
Yes.
Tell me about this pattern.
So, as you said at the beginning, I have a books podcast. I also write books, but in general, just like love reading, love books. And I just think the collab between Agatha Christie and Karen Maybon, so chic.
Excellent.
Just so cool. Like, what a cool little thing. She's always doing these cool little things, isn't she? Yeah, she manages to make everything look cool, like even the Queen. Like, she even makes Buckingham Palace kind of cool. But yeah, I loved this one. It's on like a pink base and just got loads of like illustrated covers of books. And they just look great. And I wear them a lot. They're very comfortable. But yeah, I just love them. I just think they're so fun. And I think fun is important.
Incredibly important.
Yes. And I think Karen's stuff is very playful and fun, but also like it doesn't feel like it compromises on being stylish.
Yes.
In favour of fun. But yeah, I love her. I love everything she does. I think it's so fun and eye-catching. And it's the kind of thing that if you wear it, people are like, what is that? Like, where did you get that? Not the pyjamas, but like other things. Because I don't tend to be around many people in my pyjamas other than my husband.
Do you wear them out?
I have not, but I have a friend, Jo Bromelow, who's very stylish and wears very, very bold clothes. And she often wears Karen Maybon pyjama tops as tops. Mm-hmm. And I recently bought a Rixo pyjama set in the Liberty sale that I've decided to own as outdoor clothes. Thing.
I likewise have that from a sample sale.
Not the black
probably
one.
The same one, but no, mine's green with like puffy sleeves.
Cool.
But yeah, it's like an excellent outdoor item.
So I wore it as like a fake jumpsuit the other day with a belt, but I'm gonna wear it like separately as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I just think
why not?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can do what I want.
Also, you say you're not normally around that many people in your pajamas, but with the wonders of social media.
True, people do see them quite a lot.
You have thousands of people watching you in your pyjamas.
True.
So,
they might as well be Karen Maybon ones.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I really love that that set. And yeah, really happy to have discovered her. But then realising that if I hadn't discovered her independently, I would have discovered her like months later after meeting my husband, who is friends with your husband, and you know Karen. I would have found... We would have found each other anyway.
Absolutely. I think if it's meant to be, it
exactly.
will happen. I'm eternally grateful for Paul introducing me to you. So, aww. You know, it goes on and on. Can you tell me if there's a particular way that you dress when you write?
So something that I think is very important about writing, like I'm very loath to give like writing advice or like be prescriptive in any way about writing. But I think the only important thing about writing is to like just do it and not have like rituals around it and not like make it difficult for yourself and not be like, I can only write under these conditions at this time in this special magical notebook. So I'm very like, I will just like write in my bed on my laptop in my pajamas. So no, I barely even get dressed to write.
Nice. Well, the pajamas are probably Karen Maybon though, so
yes,
it's fine.
True.
Everything's fine. Do you actually sleep in them?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have quite a few sets, and I cannot sleep in them because I get all sort of stressed about scrumpling them or something.
I love to scrumple.
But yeah, and I just can't.
They're too precious.
Do it. I need to sleep in like leggings and a t-shirt that's like held together like a rag.
Yeah.
So there you go. You heard it here first. Can you tell me about dressing characters? How do you consider your characters? And a lot of them are plus size as well, so you must take that into consideration in terms of how...
Yeah, so I really like writing about clothes. That's something that comes up a lot when I read other people's books, especially, and I don't want to get like boring gender wars about this, but often like characters written by men where they describe clothes and I'm like, literally no one in the history of the world has worn that outfit, let alone like a young woman in like a glamorous job, like would never wear that. Like, what are you talking about? So I really find like describing clothes, choosing accurate clothes for the person that I'm writing about, I really like that, and that's very important to me. In my adult debut, Welcome to Your Life, because my first two books were for young people, in my adult debut, I made the character make her own clothes, because I just felt like that's quite a useful vehicle for exploring someone's like self-expression and like how that changes over the course of the book, like what she makes and what she feels like empowered to wear. So clothes are very important to me and my characters.
Nice. I can see that. Can we talk about your next fabric?
Is it the Marimekko?
It's the Marimekko. Yeah, tell me.
So this one is from a Marimekko for Uniqlo collab, and it is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like kind of floral illustration with like little black and white bits behind it. It's like red and orange, black and white, kind of some pink. And it's just so cute. I think, so there's a word that I use all the time, and I probably use it like a million times on this already. I use it in my books all the time. My favorite word is chic.
Yeah.
And I think Marimekko is just very chic.
It really is.
It's just like cool. It's like Marnie, you know, like it's just like it's cool and grown up. Like it's never going to pretend to be anything other than what it is. Has no aspiration towards like trend. It's just very like self-confident. And yeah, I love Marimekko and I love that pattern. And I have it on a bomber jacket, like a puffer jacket from Uniqlo, you know, the classic Uniqlo puffer jacket. And literally, I get so many compliments on it, like from random strangers in like Bruges. A man stopped me to tell me he liked my jacket. And I just think it's so cool and like eye catching. And I think with like winter coats and jackets, we have like a tendency to go for quite like plain conservative things. And I just thought, but this is fun and it's what I like.
It always feels a shame in the winter to put on a great outfit and then put your like brown coat on top. Yes. I mean, I do love a brown, I call it the Home Alone mom coat.
Yes.
Sort of long brown coat. Yeah. But it always feels like you're kind of squashing something when you put it on. Whereas this one is like
very
just
fun.
Another layer of fun.
Yeah, I love it. And just the pattern, I just love it.
Can you tell me about clothing for fitness? I know you're really into running. You inspired me to start running. And also spinning at the moment. Tell me about like how you choose your clothes for that.
So I do like intentional physical exercise like most days, whether that's like spinning or running or walking. I sometimes go to the gym to like pump iron, but I don't enjoy that as much. And I only really wear one brand of clothes to work out in, which is Girlfriend Collective, who I love. Unfortunately, they are not patterned. They're very color block. Monochrome, and yeah, just where I tend to work out in leggings and a sports bra when I go spinning, and then if I'm running I put a t-shirt over the sports bra. But maybe in the heat of summer I will be very brave and just not wear a t-shirt, because you know, I see like thin girlies on the street dressed like that. I've seen many thin girlies in the last couple of days in like sports bra and a little hot pant shorts kind of thing. So you know, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me.
Absolutely. I remember being in New York while pregnant during the summer of 2016, and it got to like 38 degrees Celsius, and I finally understood the way they dress in girls.
Yeah.
And how
like
everybody is just wearing like the tiniest amount of clothes, and there was something wonderfully empowering. I mean, it was also like I had this massive bump, so it was quite fun to dress the bump, but I was like fully in kind of tiny shorts and tiny tops, and like someone came up to me and said I looked like I was from Clueless, which was the biggest compliment I've ever been given.
Do you know what, I'm thinking about this a lot, because I feel like in America, especially in New York, and I've had it in like LA as well, but like people really talk to you and like compliment your outfits and like what you're wearing, and like if you're wearing like a cool necklace or whatever, you'll know about it. And I feel like every time it happens to me, and like it occasionally happens to me here, and I feel like I should do that more.
Yes,
we should do that more.
We should
tell someone when they look cool.
It's always a nice thing.
Also, you know, there's just no world in which people do not like being told that they're cool.
It's a generous gift we can give.
I agree.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you tell me about tattoos as pattern? You've got quite a lot of tattoos.
I do.
And I know that you kind of collect them-ish.
Yeah, so I've really slowed down in the last few years, but I do have like one that I got last year. And yeah, I just think, you know, just like cool little things. I'm quite like unsentimental about them. It doesn't have to be like deep and meaningful. Sometimes they just look cool, like this pink wig one.
I love the pink wig.
The pink wig is so cool.
It's really good. And I also love this like patterned face.
The lady face.
Yeah.
And they've got these, a little peony.
Like, celeb tattoos. Like the
not
artists
really.
Who are making them now. They're
No, I mean,
they look quite iconic, like they might be kind of...
No, it's more, they're not like necessarily like famous tattooists, but they're tattoos by people that have like a thing. So like the guy that did the pink wig like does like hair, like that's what his tattoos are. And like the guy that did the face like does ones that look like this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe why I end up with quite good ones, because I tend to go, it's not like I have an idea for a tattoo and then I get it done by someone. I go to someone because I think what they do is cool.
Yeah.
And so I end up with like quite random, interesting tattoos, but that are well executed because it's like the specialist thing of the person that does them.
Yeah. Nice. And your most iconic tattoo, of course,
is the donut. Which was one of my... That was my idea. And it's like a pink sugary donut. Probably doesn't look that dissimilar to the Tottenham cake that you have brought me that I will eat on the train to Oxford that I'm going to later.
Little treat from Greg's.
Oh, I love it. And it's just like a pink sugary donut with like sprinkles. You know, like kind of like what they'd have on The Simpsons.
Yes.
And it says live fat, die yum around it. And I just got it like maybe 10 years ago as a sort of empowering statement. And I do not regret it.
I love it. It's so good.
It's very fun.
Yeah. It's nice how the patterns of your clothing interact with the patterns of tattoos. And it's sort of like another layer of pattern on pattern.
Agree.
Overload. It's always on. Can you tell me about your next fabric, which is the lilac gingham?
So the lilac gingham that I chose is on a dress that I got in New York last year from a brand called Ray, W-R-A-Y, which is probably my favorite like size inclusive brand. Like it's not specifically plus size people, but they do like a really wide range of sizes. They just make really cool, fun clothes. They do amazing patterns. And this one is actually a more like chill pattern for them. And it's just on like seersucker fabric, and it's like a wrap dress, but like a cool wrap dress. Don't worry.
And not Trini and Susanna vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's very not Trini and Susanna. It's got like puff sleeves, and yeah, very cool. And you can like tie it on the side or tie it like loads of different ways. I love it. And I love gingham, maybe because like I loved The Wizard of Oz growing up, like a little, you know, like a little childhood me. Like I watched a lot of like MGM musicals and like old films when I was a little baby. And yeah, gingham just always feels like a happy place, and
feels like home.
Yeah, exactly. There's no place like home. And yeah, I just think gingham is a very classic pattern. And it's probably, of all the patterns that I chose, like, it's definitely the most, like, chill one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like gingham is, like, has been having a moment for the last couple of years. You know, it's hard to move for all of the gingham midi dresses. And I think that's okay.
Mm.
I like some of them more than others, but I love this one. And I just love the lilac. I think the lilac gives it a little je ne sais quoi.
I think there's something possibly almost psychological about checks and gingham. That I think some people have a pull towards. And I wonder sometimes whether it's got anything related to that thing where people have a fear of honeycomb, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, holes in nature, trypophobia.
Yeah. And whether there's a kind of opposite, where it's like an actual draw towards a grid.
Yeah, maybe. No, possible? I, yeah.
Because I find myself sometimes dressing head to toe in checks.
Yeah.
Like cardigan, dress, socks, you know, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
Have I taken it too far?
Yeah.
No.
No, definitely not. But also, I wonder, there's something very guttural about the pull towards a check pattern, I think is quite...
Yeah, maybe
special.
For you it acts as a neutral, like you perceive it as a neutral, like because I think a lot of the time you wouldn't wear like three patterns together, but if it's check, it somehow like
yes, that's
evens
true.
Itself out.
Well, they almost kind of meet up.
They
with
harmonize.
One another. Yeah, they. It's just like different tones of the same.
It's
music.
Like they're different but the same,
yeah.
And you can just kind of do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about like your approach to craft and kind of making things yourself? Because I know that you crochet.
I love to crochet. So, yeah.
Yeah.
In lockdown, I started making polymer clay earrings, which was really fun because, as I said, I got made redundant from my job. And I was like, what is a thing that I can do from home that will stop me from getting bored and will maybe make me a little bit of money? And I started making polymer clay earrings, which I don't do anymore because, weirdly, it sounds really silly, I got a long-haired cat called Paddington, and he kind of makes it difficult to do these kinds of things just because he's very curious and gets all up in your shit, but also he has long hair and like I can't stop long hair getting into polymer clay, and because it's very
it
sticky.
A new,
yeah, a new feature, a design feature.
Fibrous.
So yeah, just in I ended up having other stuff to do and also getting my cat, and between those two things I stopped doing it, but it was really fun. And crochet is the same, and what I love about both of them is like finding cool color combinations and like just making stuff that I think looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you have a kind of natural touch to turn things, maybe we call it the Midas touch.
Maybe we can.
To sort of whatever you touch just comes out good. And also people really lap it up, it seems. Like the,
yeah, it's
you,
nice.
You know, there's not, it's easy to say you made some polymer clay earrings and then they made you a bit of money. But like you really, people
yeah,
were buying them.
People were buying them. And yeah, they were really cool.
I wonder whether it's something that I learned from you. I'm not sure. But is this a true fact that crochet items can only be made by hand?
Yes, that is true. So you did learn that maybe from me. So
if you see them in a fast fashion shop, they've been made by a person.
Yeah, who were probably paid like 20p.
Yeah.
You do occasionally, and this is not like a get out of jail free card for people to buy it, but you do very occasionally get things that look like they're crocheted that are actually knitted.
Okay.
Which you can machine automate knitting, but you cannot machine automate crochet. Don't know why. It's just one of those things. But it is also always worth bearing in mind that although you can machine automate things, a person still operates the machine.
Yeah.
So everything that you wear ever is made by a person. And so if you're buying it for very little money, that means probably nothing good happened at one end of the supply chain. Should I tell you about my final...
Please do.
My final pattern, which is what I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
So this is from Batsheva.
That's nice.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I like Batsheva.
Chic.
I didn't know that they did this kind of pattern.
Like, well...
Tell me.
I'll tell you. So this is the May style from Batsheva, which is one of their like classic shapes that they make. But this was a collaboration that they did with Laura Ashley.
Ah.
So this is a Laura Ashley fabric on a Batsheva shape. And
amazing.
I love it. I love it so much. I got it in the Net-a-Porter sale at Christmas. And I just think it's so cute. So it's like strawberries. It's just like strawberries on a vine.
Yes.
With little tiny little yellow flowers on a white background. And it's just... I just think it's so cute. And obviously, again, as children of the 90s, I do feel like Laura Ashley has like a place in
totally.
the cultural imagination of like, you know, kind of like good taste in a way. Like it
yeah.
was kind of like a, like not habitat, like not kind of like new, cool, but like old and stylish.
Yeah. Also, what I didn't realize is that they licensed a lot of fabrics, a lot of prints from other kind of printmakers. So I remember visiting Charleston
House,
where the Bloomsbury Group lived, and one of the Omega fabrics, which is one of the designs that they made, looked exactly like a Laura Ashley fabric. And then looking into it, discovered that it was.
Mm.
Hilarious story. My friend Connie and I made a song about it, which is the world's worst song. And I have it going around in my head now. Shall I sing a bit of it?
Yes.
It goes, Omega fabric looks like Laura Ashley fabric. That's really interesting because it's a Laura Ashley fabric. And can you believe we got our friend Tom Rosenthal, the celebrated
The famous musician, and celebrated musician,
to help us write that song, and he couldn't get anything better out of us.
You just got it right first time, straight out of the box. You wrote the optimal version. Even Tom could not improve on it.
He could not improve. Yeah, I think he was just trying to wrangle us somewhere, and that's as far as we managed to get.
Anyway, I respect it.
Top fact about Laura Ashley. And similarly, I think they had some William Morris fabrics too, so... But this is a really special one.
Yeah, I love it.
This has a kind of boldness to it, which really appeals. And I love the yellow outline of the flower. It's so subtle, but so kind of special. And I really enjoyed drawing it.
I think the slab. Something I've realized from crochet is that I really like black or white background with like bright accents on it. So I made like a little waistcoat the other day with like a little tie at the front, which is like black with like bright stuff. So yeah, I think that's the thing that I've learned about what I like.
So nice.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this pattern. I think it's so cute for summer, and it's made of cotton, so it's very nice and cool.
Nice.
Cool, because it's very hot today.
It is sweltering. Is there a pattern that got away?
I feel like I'm going to say not that I can think of, but I'll probably think of one after I leave. But in general, I don't think so. I think I've either like achieved or accepted it is gone.
Is there a brand that you like are desperate to have something from, or like a particular pattern that you feel is lacking from your collection that you're like... I mean, you mentioned Marnie earlier.
Yeah.
That's probably like high on my list of dream purchases.
They've got quite a lot of like bright kind of like striped stuff, like blocky stripes. And I think that would be nice for me.
Nice.
That would be a nice thing for me personally to have. Or like Missoni.
Yes.
Or like Etro kind of.
Okay, like the classic.
Paisley. Like kind of, Italian something. Yeah.
Chic.
She's chic.
And which of these patterns would you save from a house fire?
Probably the Karen Mabon pajamas, just because I think it's so unique and special. I think it's so cool. And it's also helped me learn loads of like obscure Agatha Christie books, because I have this fantasy of going on Pointless. And so I like to try and retain like obscure things. Like if I watch a film, I try and remember three people that are in the film that are like random people. And so with my Karen Mabon pajamas, I try and remember like three random Agatha Christie books.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That is so good. I love to imagine you on there and it coming up, the Agatha Christie question, and then you just like scanning your
being
mental
like a cat among picture. The pigeons, like just three, like the dumbwaiter, like things that I only know, like Slumdog Millionaireing it from my Karen Mabon pajamas.
I love it. I can't wait to watch that play out on screen.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you so much, Bethany.
It's been a delight. Thank you for having me. Love to chat.
You've been listening to Pattern Portraits with me, Lauren Godfrey. Follow us on Instagram at Pattern Portraits Podcast. The limited edition print accompanying this episode is available to buy now on laurengodfrey.co.uk. Join us next week for another chat about pattern.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.